Orna locked it. No one goes into my room, sick or not. They especially don't go in there to throw up on my things. He shrugs. Don't know. Just warning you. Logan disappears into the crowd as I head toward my room. Steph knows better than to go into my room. Why didn't she warn her little tag-along? I enter in a huff, and sure enough, standing next to my bookshelf is Tessa. I immediately notice that her hand is on my oldest copy of Wuthering Heights. The worn pages show its use to me. Why the hell are you in my room? I say to her. She doesn't even flinch. She gently closes the book in her hands. I asked you what the hell you are doing in my room, I repeat, just as harsh as the first time. Across the room, take the book from her and toss it back onto the shelf where it belongs. She still hasn't answered me. She's standing there near my bed with wide eyes and a closed mouth.
Nate told me to bring Steph in here, she whispers.
She waves her hand in the direction of my bed. Steph is passed out on the mattress, and I'm not happy about that one bit.
She drank too much, and Nate said...
I've heard enough. I heard you the first time. I calmly interrupt her.
You're a part of this fraternity?
She asks, her voice curious and a tad bit judgmental. Not that I'm in any way surprised by this. I'm used to being judged, especially around rich kids with haughty attitudes. I don't think this girl is rich, though. Her dress looks like it came from a consignment store instead of a department store, which surprises me for some reason. Yeah, so? I step toward the nosy girl, and she backs away, hitting the bookcase in the process. Does that surprise you, Teresa?
Stop calling me Teresa,
she snaps at me. Feisty. That's your name, isn't it? Sighing, she turns away from me. I glance over at my bed as she attempts to leave the room. She can't stay in here, I say to her. No way is Steph sleeping in my bed all night.
Why not? I thought you guys were friends.
How sweet. How naive. We are, but no one stays in my room. I cross my arms over my chest and get a good look at her. Her eyes are following the tattoos inked onto my arms. I like the way she's looking at me, trying to figure me out. It's exciting, even, to be examined in this way. She's intrigued, and it's obvious. She seems to snap out of her staring fit.
Oh, I see,
she snorts.
So only girls who make out with you can come into your room.
I can't help but smile at the little feisty freshman. Long blonde hair and killer curves hidden underneath that hideous outfit. But something about this girl irritates me on a deeper level than Steph does, or even Molly. I can't put my finger on it, but she's getting under my skin pretty quickly, and I need to put a stop to that. That wasn't my room, but if you're trying to say you want to make out with me, sorry, you're not my type. I smile and watch her face twist into embarrassment and anger.
You are.
I feel uncomfortable as she fights to find the insulting words.
Well, then you take her to another room, and I'll find a way back to the dorms.
Me? She's so sure of herself, it's pissing me off more and more by the second. She wouldn't actually leave Steph in here, would she? She opens the door and walks through it. Damn, she has more balls than I thought. I'm slightly impressed. Annoyed, but impressed.
Good night, Teresa!
I yell to her as she slams my bedroom door. I take a visual sweep of the room, seeing what else might have been disturbed. The mirror on my wall catches my attention, mainly because the man standing in it is barely recognizable. I don't know who I've become in the last few years. But more surprisingly, I don't understand where the stupid smile now on my face has come from. I'm used to bickering with obnoxious people during these parties. Why did I enjoy this so much more than usual? Is it because of this new girl? She's not my usual prey, but she's fun to toy with. The noise from downstairs fills my room, and with Steph in my bed, I have nothing to do. I will have to get Nate to carry her out of here, and drop her in the hallway if need be. Surely she slept in worse places. I find myself thinking about Tessa and her attitude, the way she stubbornly placed her hand on her hip and wouldn't back down from me. I walk out into the hallway and convince some frat newbie to move Steph's body to an empty room down the hall. I watch a moment to make sure he doesn't stay in there with her, and when he pops out of the room, I head back toward my own. Passing the bathroom, I hear a frantic voice through the door. It's that Tessa girl. I know her voice immediately.
Yeah, no. I went to a stupid party with my roommate, and now I'm stuck at a frat house with nowhere to sleep and no way to get back to my room.
She's full on crying now. I should just walk away from the door. I don't have the energy or remote interest in dealing with a crying, overly sensitive girl.
But she...
I can't make out her words between her sobs. I press my ear to the door.
That isn't the point, Noah,
I hear her say. I try to open the door. I'm not even sure why I do, so it's probably fortunate that it's locked.
Just a minute,
she says loudly, losing patience. I knock again.
I said just a minute!
She yanks the door open, and her eyes grow wide when she sees me. I look away as she storms past me. I reach for her arm, gently stopping her.
Don't touch me!
She yells and jerks away. Have you been crying? I ask, even though I already know the answer.
Just leave me alone, Harden,
she says, no conviction in her tone. She sounds so exhausted. Who was she talking to on the phone? Her boyfriend. I open my mouth to tease her, but she holds a finger up.
Harden, please, I'm begging you. If you have one decent bone in your body, you will leave me be. Just save whatever mean comment you're going to save for tomorrow. Please.
Her blue-gray eyes are shining with tears, and the rude remark I had planned suddenly lost its spark. There's a room down the hall you can sleep in. It's where I put Steph, I tell her. She stares at me like I've grown three heads.
Okay,
she simply says after a moment. It's the third door on the left. I walk toward my room. I feel an overwhelming urge to get away from this girl and fast. Good night, Teresa, I say, and step into my room. I close the door and lean against the back of it. I feel dizzy. I don't feel right. Logan better not have tricked me and slipped some shit in my water. I walk to the bookshelf and grab Wuthering Heights, opening to the middle of the novel. Catherine is the most infuriating female character I've ever read, and I cannot for the life of me understand why Heathcliff puts up with her shit. He's an asshole too, but she's the worst. It takes me a while to fall asleep, but when I do, I find myself dreaming about Catherine, or rather a young blonde version of her, stumbling into college. But the sound of my mother's screams wakes me, and I bolt upright. Sweat soaking through my shirt, and turn on the light. When will this shit end? It's been years and it won't go away. After a few more fitful hours of staring at the ceiling and walls and trying to convince myself I must have slept in all that time, I take a shower and walk down to the kitchen. Grabbing a trash bag, I decide to help clean up for once. Maybe if I do some nice shit for people, I'll get a full night's sleep sometime. In the kitchen, I find Tessa, still here, laughing and leaning against the counter. What's so funny? I ask, sweeping a bunch of empty cups off the counter and into my bag.
Nothing. Does Nate live here too?
She asks me. I ignore her. Her soft voice gains some volume.
Does he? The sooner you tell me if Nate lives here, the sooner I can leave.
Now you have my attention. I take a step toward her to clean a pile of soaking paper towels off the counter. I smile at the annoyed girl. But no, he doesn't live here. Does he seem like a frat boy to you?
No, but neither do you,
she scoffs. I don't respond. Damn it, This house is a fucking disaster.
Is there a bus that runs close to here?
She taps her foot against the floor like a child, and I roll my eyes.
Yep, about a block away.
Could you tell me where it is?
Sure, it's about a block away.
Something about her quick annoyance makes me smile. She turns on her flat shoes and walks away in a hurry. I laugh to myself and ignore the way Logan is smirking at me from across the kitchen. I walk toward him but change my direction as I watch Tessa approach Steph.
We aren't taking the bus. One of those assholes will take us back to our room. He was probably just giving you a hard time.
I hear Steph say. She enters the kitchen, looking like Hurricane Katrina. Her dark makeup is smeared around her eyes. I glance at Tessa, who is barely wearing any, and note the difference.
Harden, you ready to take us back now? My head is pounding.
Yeah, sure. Just give me a minute.
I drop the bag of trash onto the floor and laugh to myself when I hear Tessa scoff. It's so easy to get under this girl's skin. Tessa and Steph meet me by my car, and I can't help but choose one of my favorite metal songs, War Pigs, during the drive back to campus. I roll all the windows down and enjoy the breeze.
Can you roll those up?
Tessa asks from the back seat. I glance in the rearview mirror and pull my lip ring between my teeth to keep from laughing at the way her blonde hair is whipping around her face. I pretend not to hear her and turn the volume up on the stereo. When the joyride is done and they're climbing out of the car, I say, I'll come by later, Steph. I can see her panties through her outfit, but I'm pretty sure that's the point of her wearing fishnet stockings.
Bye, Teresa.
I smile, and she rolls her eyes. I find myself laughing as I drive away. Chapter 5. He woke up one night, months after he'd met her. He rolled over to find her cradled against him, her legs wrapped around his. He had never felt anything like this before. His pain felt so diminished, but his heart and mind so electric at the same time. And he had no experience of anything of this sort. He wanted to wake her. He wanted to confess his sins to his angel that night. But she woke at the exact moment he was going to ask for forgiveness, and he didn't have the strength. He was a coward and a liar, and he knew it. He could only hope that she would have mercy on him. Her eyes fluttered and searched for him, and he felt a crushing weight on him. He couldn't ruin who she thought he was, but he was terrified of their future, for he learned as a child that every lie made in the dark becomes an evil truth in the light. The sounds of laughing and a dog barking wake me from my 3-hour sleep. I never get much sleep anyway, but I would appreciate a little peace in the hallways, considering it's a Monday morning and I have class in. I reach for my phone and check the time. 8:43. Fuck! I have less than 30 minutes to get to my literature class. And why the hell is there a dog in the house anyway? Grabbing last night's black jeans from the floor, I pull them on, stumbling slightly and cursing at the tight fabric. My legs are just too damn long to wear baggy jeans without looking like fucking Gumby. I tossed my keys onto the floor last night, so I'm subjected to the ordeal of rummaging through the clutter of shit to find them. Black t-shirts, dirty black jeans, and filthy socks crowd the floor. I make my way through the house, ignoring the telltale signs of last night's party. Logan waves to me, bags under his eyes and an energy drink in his hand.
I feel like shit, man,
he groans, trying to smile. He's always smiling, and I catch myself wondering what that would feel like. To be happy all the time like he is, even this hungover. I never managed it.
You've got the right idea, not drinking.
He walks over to the fridge. He pulls out a half gallon of milk and drinks it straight from the container.
Nice.
I shake my head at him, and he smiles, then drinks some more. The kitchen starts to fill up with other members of the fraternity, and since I'm not in their clique, I grab a piece of pizza from the detritus of last night's drunken decision to order 10 pizzas at 4 a.m. As I'm leaving the room, I hear Neil asking everyone if they want to go to some restaurant tonight before the party. I didn't expect them to invite me. They never do. It's not that I would ever be caught dead hanging out with a bunch of dumbass frat boys with too much gel in their hair outside of a party or two. My mum's always giving me a hard time about making friends, but she doesn't get it. It's not that fucking easy or remotely entertaining. Why would I put myself out there to get the approval of people I can't stand, just to feel slightly more important in life? I don't need friends. I have a small group of people I can slightly tolerate, and that's more than enough for me. By the time I get to campus, the parking lot is almost full, and I have to cut off some douchebag in a Beamer to take his spot. The professor is already blabbing when I enter the lecture room. Looking around the space, I search for an empty seat and notice the girl in the front row. Her long blonde hair is mildly recognizable. It's the long skirt touching the floor that confirms it. Tessa, Steph's prudish roommate. Sitting next to Landon Gibson. Of course she is. This should be fun. Tessa trapped in a classroom with me, an empty seat next to her. This has quickly become the highlight of my day. As I get closer, she looks back at me and her eyes go wide. She turns around quickly, and I move quickly to sit next to her. Just like I knew she would, she ignores me. She's wearing a blue button-up shirt that has to be at least 2 sizes too big, and her hair is pinned back away from her face. Just as I approach them, my phone vibrates in my pocket. A text from my sperm donor. Karen's making a nice dinner. You should come by. Has he lost his damn mind? I look over at Landon, who happens to be Karen's perfect son, all fresh in his polo shirt. Hell no, I'm not going. Like I would ever go to his shiny new house for dinner with his girlfriend and Landon. Perfect little Landon, who loves sports and kisses everyone's ass to be the nicest, most respectful boy in the land. Bleh. I wait for dear brother Landon to say something to me, but he doesn't. So much for my dad's promise of blending our family. Fucker.
I think this will be my favorite class,
Tessa says to him once the professor has dismissed us. Weirdly, it may be my favorite too, even though I'm sitting in the class for fun, really. I got away with classifying it as an elective, even though I've taken it before. She turns to me when she realizes that I'm following them.
What do you want, Harden?
It's already working. I smile at her, an innocent smile, as if I'm not trying to get under her skin.
Nothing, nothing. I'm just so glad we have a class together.
My tone is mocking, and she rewards my sarcasm with an eye roll. I continue to stare her way the entire duration of the class, getting a rush each time she huffs or fidgets uncomfortably. She's so easy to rile up. I love it. The hour is over before I would like it to be, and Tessa starts packing her bag up before the professor dismisses us. Not so fast. I jump to my feet, ready to follow her and Landon out of the building. I'm not ready for my fun to end just yet. When we reach the hallway, Landon turns to Tessa. She looks nervous, having both of us standing in front of her.
I'll see you later, Tessa,
Landon says without a word to me.
You would find the lamest kid in class to befriend.
I tease her as he disappears into the crowd of freshmen, trying to find their way around campus. I picture Landon's mum and my dad holding hands in a cheery, look at how much we love each other way. His mum's hand holding that of my father, Ken Scott, aka Father of the Fucking Year, makes me cringe. I can't remember a single time when he held my mum's hand like that.
Don't say that about him. He's a sweet guy, unlike you,
she snaps. I turn to her, surprised by her vehement loyalty to him. Does she know him already? Does he know her? Does she like him?
Why the fuck would I care?
Pushing the questions far from my mind, I have an electric urge to push her buttons more.
You're becoming more feisty with each chat we have, Teresa.
She begins to walk faster to get away from me, so I speed up to match her pace.
If you call me Teresa one more time...
Her full lips purse together, and she attempts a glare at me, but her eyes warm mid-glare, shifting from grey into a pale blue, and the tension slips from my shoulders. I feel it, something creeping up my spine as my body starts to relax. I shake it off, this weird feeling. She's still staring. I changed my mind. I thought I liked how she stared at me before, trying to decipher me. But now I can feel her judgment crawling over my skin. Now she's looking at my inked arms the way my gran does. I don't need her questioning me in my fucking choices.
Stop staring at me,
I demand, and walk away. I turn the corner and feel breathless. It reminds me of those nights when I'd smoked just way too many cigarettes. I don't smoke anymore. I don't do that anymore. I have to remind myself. I lean against the brick wall and catch my breath. She's odd, that blonde girl with too much attitude. The entire week was shit. Party after party, noise after noise, all the sounds of misery. At most, I've slept a total of 20 hours in the past week, and I'm exhausted today. I can barely see straight through my throbbing headache, and I can't find my keys this morning. I'm irritated as fuck and in a fighting mood. While I'm turning my room upside down, there's a knock at the door. I consider ignoring it, but the knock comes again, this time louder. When I answer, a girl in a WCU jersey is standing in my doorway, her eyes red and her cheeks flushed.
Can I come in?
She asks, her hands shaking. No, sorry. I close the door in her face. Seconds later, another knock. Damn it. I don't know who the chick is, but she needs to find another door to knock on. She continues tapping away at my door, and I yank it open. Neil, one of the biggest of the douchebags in the fraternity, is standing there. His blonde hair is ruffled, messy, and he smells like beer and pussy. What the fuck do you want? I ask him, and walk back into the room, tossing a pair of jeans at him.
Have you seen Caddy?
His tone is off, his words slurred.
Who?
The girl I was with last night. Have you seen her?
I think back to the red eyes of the girl in the jersey, the way she was wandering the halls, and I shake my head. I thought she was high at first, and maybe she was, but it never does well to assume. She left and she's not coming back. Leave her alone. I grab a book from my shelf and throw it at him. Groaning, he calls me a dick and leaves. I'm still pissed as I drive back to campus, and I continue my newly found pattern of annoying Steph's roommate.
I'm excited for this class. I've heard really good things about it,
Landon tells her as I walk up behind them. They must be closer friends than I thought. Her voice is quiet when she responds to him, and he smiles at her. Her smile is warm, so warm that I look away for a moment. Do they like each other? She has a mannequin boyfriend. He has a girlfriend, as far as I know. They must have broken up by the way he's looking at Tessa. Halfway through class, Landon leaves and Tessa literally moves her chair farther away from me.
Monday we begin our week-long discussion of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, Professor something or other announces to the class.
I glance over at Tessa, and she's smiling. Not just smiling. She's grinning from ear to ear. Of course she is. Chicks love Pride and Prejudice. They can't get enough of Darcy and his pride-turned-charm bullshit. I watch Tessa gather her things, a massive planner and every textbook this campus carries. I'm trying to pretend to stall, but really, even doing that is difficult, considering just how long it takes her to pick everything back up and put it neatly into her bag. Following her outside, I say,
"Let me guess. You are just madly in love with Mr. Darcy."
I have to tease her over this. Have to.
Every woman who has read the novel is,
she responds, a tongue sticking out a little at the end, and her eyes focused anywhere other than my face. I follow her still, and watch her look both ways before she crosses the street at the intersection.
Of course you do,
I laugh, pausing a moment before I realize she's gotten most of the way across the street without me. Damn, she walks fast.
I'm sure you aren't able to comprehend Mr. Darcy's appeal.
Tessa tries to insult me as I catch up, but I just laugh again.
A man who is rude and intolerable being made into a romantic hero. It's ridiculous.
If Elizabeth had any sense, she would have told him to fuck off from the beginning. Miss Priss turns to face me, and to my surprise I hear the soft sound of a giggle. As in, the innocent and unintentional giggles that have seemingly disappeared from the world today. She covers her mouth the moment the sound hits the air, but I heard it. I heard it, as if it had pierced through me.
So you do agree that Elizabeth is an idiot?
I press.
No. She's one of the strongest, most complex characters ever written.
She defends Elizabeth Bennet in a way that most 18-year-olds would never be able to, with the Tom Hanks movie thrown in there to boot. I find myself laughing, genuinely laughing, and she joins in. Her laugh is soft, like cotton. What the fuck did I just... I immediately stop laughing and look away from her. This is too damn weird. She's weird and obnoxious.
I'll see you around, Teresa.
I dismiss her and walk the other way. Soft like cotton. Her giggle pierced through me. What the fuck was that? I push that bullshit to the back of my mind and walk to my car. Tonight there's another party, as always, and I'll get my mind away from this shit by burying myself in a tight, wet. My phone vibrating in my pocket distracts me from my perverted thoughts. Pulling it out, I see Jace's name pop up on the screen, and I quickly answer. He's been gone for a while, and I'll be glad to have him back. Everyone has that one person they hang out with who makes them feel better about themselves. For me, that's Jace. He's an asshole. Grade A fucking dickhead, ask anyone. But he's entertaining, and he always makes for a good time.
Chapter 6. The closer he got to her, the more of her he needed to explore. When he found himself wondering what she thought of when she woke up in the morning, or how long she takes to get ready, he knew she was becoming something more than a passerby in his life. Suddenly, she was more than the game he was playing with her. In his own sick way, he was glad that he could use the game as an excuse to spend more time with her. He had leverage, and a reason to find out everything there was to know about her, without his friends getting suspicious. He had validation for wanting to spend as many hours with her as he could. In order to win, he had to, right?
Why does she have to come again?
Molly asks the small group as she takes a drag on her cigarette.
Because she is Steph's roommate, and Steph likes her for some heretofore unexplained reason. So she's bringing the kid along, Nate explains.
She's a total bitch, though. Super fucking obnoxious, I groan, rubbing my head. She irritates me even when she's not around. Molly must like my reaction, because she leans into me. I move away before she touches me, pretending that I didn't realize her intention. I spent the afternoon fucking her, burying my cock inside of her and thinking of someone else. I could feel the soft curves of her hip, the full breasts. I could hear her voice saying my name. I wrapped my hands in pink hair. I imagined blonde and came hard into the condom. Molly was so proud of herself for finally getting me off without her mouth. If only she knew.
She's hot, though, Nate adds.
Has everyone noticed how hot Tessa is by now?
Hot? No, she's not.
I lie through my teeth. A tan hand swipes over neatly gelled hair.
She's definitely hot, dude, Zed says with surprising certainty. I would fuck her in a heartbeat.
You wish. She's a total prude, obviously. I mean, who's a virgin in college?
Molly mocks Tessa. Nate laughs.
Right. When did you become friends with her and she told you that?
Molly scowls at him.
Me? I wouldn't talk to her. But Steph has to. And she overheard something about it when Princess was talking to her boyfriend, it seems.
Maybe that's why she's such a bitch. Because she hasn't been fucked properly, I say. And move a few inches away from Molly, hoping she won't follow.
I may need to do that, then, Zed says, trying to make everyone laugh. He fails.
Yeah, right. You couldn't even if you tried, I taunt him.
And you could. I would have a better chance than you, he counters.
He can't be serious. Does he not remember his precious Samantha?
What'd I miss?
Jay sits down on the concrete and pulls a joint from his pocket.
Steph has a total snob for a roommate, and Zed and Harden here are arguing over who could fuck her first,
Molly informs him with a growl. Does Zed actually think she would fuck him? I look around the group, annoyed that everyone is thinking about her that way. If her body is as pure as they say, I can just imagine what the smallest touch would do to her. I would have her twitching beneath me, begging me for more. Zed could never make her come the way I could. But would she let him try? If the playing field were completely equal, would Tessa choose him over me?
You know, we could make this much more interesting. You up for it?
I turn to Zed. Zed smiles.
Depends.
Okay. So let's see who can hook up with her first.
What's the point of this? I ask myself the moment I say the words. And another part of me replies, it could be fun. At least it will give me something to do and a reason to annoy her further.
I don't know.
Zed's voice is full of doubt. I figured he would be all for beating me at something, given our past and the unspoken grudge he holds against me.
Come on, don't be a pussy. It won't be that hard.
We'll get Steph to make sure she comes to the next party. Get her to be friendly with us, I explain to them. She's young and naive. It'll be simple. I've done this sort of thing before. Different stakes and different prey. But a game all the same.
This is stupid. Who gives a shit who can take some random girl's virginity?
Molly huffs, whining like usual.
If you're so convinced you can do it, I'll give you a week.
Jace chokes on the smoke in his lungs and passes the joint to Molly.
A week? Dude, she's super bitchy and we already don't get along. I think I'll need longer than that.
They don't know how stubborn this chick is. She's rude and fucking pushy.
How long? 2 weeks? Look, if you get it within a month, I'll give you 500,
Zed says, leaning back against the concrete.
$500?
Molly gapes. Her fury is amusing. She's an attention whore, through and through, and she hates Tessa for stealing the limelight from her.
And I'll add 3, 800. You think you can do it?
Jace asks with bloodshot eyes.
Yeah, of course I can do it. I just hope she doesn't get all psycho and clingy,
I say, deciding whether or not to brag about the times I've won games like this in the past. I decide against it. I'm impressed by how easy it is for my signature smirk to come back. The one that Mark, my old friend from Hampstead, always called the seal. It's the look I get when I know I'm going to win something or someone. Here I am, smirking at Zed, plotting in my mind as the group waits for someone to take me down a few pegs.
Doubt it,
Nate laughs, lighting another cigarette.
She isn't going to go for you. She doesn't seem that stupid.
Zed glares at me. Jace laughs, looking directly at me.
Yeah, so we need proof when you hit it.
Proof? That shouldn't be too hard. I can be creative.
What about a video? I could use some new material.
Jace leans back, still eyeing me.
No, that's too risky, I argue.
I've been down that road before, and want to steer fucking clear of it from now on. Trust me, you'll get your proof without all that. I look directly at Zed and pull out that smirk again. I've never fucked a virgin. This should be fun. I smile a fake smile and bring my fingers to my lip ring, like I'm trying to hide it. Molly interjects.
Wait, how exactly are you two idiots going to get this show on the road? It doesn't make sense. All of a sudden, you're both just trying to fuck her.
She flips her hair in annoyance.
At least be fucking smart about it,
she gripes, and holds her hand out to borrow Nate's lighter.
Good point, Jace says. How about a game?
A game? Zed looks intrigued.
Like truth or dare. We could ask her questions about sex, confirm she's a virgin so you two aren't wasting your time to begin with.
Jace waves his hand between Zed and me.
Truth or dare? You've got to be shitting me,
I groan. No one plays that bullshit anymore.
Stupid idea,
Nate shakes his head, mock disappointment playing on his face. No one outside of sixth grade would ever want to play truth or dare.
Actually, it's a good idea. Less obvious,
Steph adds.
She's so clueless. She'll think it's something people do in college for fun. It's just edgy enough to seem dangerous to her, and just juvenile enough for her to understand.
As I look around the group, everyone is nodding and laughing. These idiots. I shrug, giving in to their idea, but only because I don't have a better one.
Truth or dare it is,
Jace finalizes it. The party is crowded, even more than the one last week, and I'm sober, like always. I stayed in my room as the music got louder and louder, then decided to come down. As I'm wandering around the living room to find Nate, I stop walking when I see Tessa sitting on the couch. Well, at least I think it's Tessa. She's dressed differently from before. Way differently. The intriguing blue-gray eyes stand out more when they're lined with makeup, and her clothes are snug on her curvy body. She's fucking hot. I wouldn't let her know that. But goddamn, she's fucking hot.
You look different.
I can't stop looking at her as she gets to her feet. Her hips. Damn, those fucking hips should have my fingertips imprinted on their skin.
Your clothes actually fit you tonight.
The sound comes out as a laugh, but I didn't mean for my comment to be a joke. She rolls her eyes at me and pulls the top of her shirt up to cover her incredible cleavage.
It's a surprise to see you here, I say to her,
still checking her out. She sighs.
I'm a bit surprised myself that I ended up here again.
She walks away from me without a warning, and I hesitate for a moment, considering whether I should follow her. I know the plan, and now that she's dressed like this, I'm even more ready to get the ball rolling on this shit. I decide not to follow her, not yet. I let her get lost in the crowd for a bit. A few minutes later, I'm leaning against the counter in the kitchen when Molly approaches me.
Are you ready for this bullshit or what?
She asks. She's irritated and jealous of the new center of attention. I get it. She's used to getting attention from the opposite sex. It's how she feels needed. I understand that more than anyone.
Are you?
I raise a brow to her. She rolls her heavily lined eyes at me.
I'll have Steph find her and bring her to the living room, since you obviously aren't going to be of any help.
By the time I sit down, water cup in hand, Tessa is joining the group. I feel uneasy but excited for some reason as the game begins. I try not to think of Natalie or Melissa, or any of the others. It's not their fault they were born into this society, right along with the scum of it, myself included.
Let's play truth or dare,
Zed starts, and our small group of tattooed friends gather around the couch. Molly is passing around a bottle of vodka, and I look away from it, drinking my water as if it was burning my throat in that familiar way. Steph, Nate, his roommate Tristan, Zed, and Molly take turns drinking from the bottle. Tessa watches them, but doesn't have any. I don't take her for an addict like me. Maybe she just doesn't like to drink. even in college, at a party.
You should play too, Tessa.
Molly smiles at her. I know that smile. It's no good. I still can't believe we're going through with this childish bullshit game.
No, I'd rather not.
Tessa picks at her fingernails, and I glance at Zed. He looks a little worried. Perhaps he's intimidated by the way she keeps glancing at me instead of him. To actually play, she would have to stop being a prude for 5 minutes. I goad her. The group laughs, all except Steph, who's putting on a good show. She's not fooling me. I know her ass better than that. I watch Tessa struggle with the peer pressure, ready to give in. Then I lean into Zed. This will be easy. You may as well pay me now, I tell him. Maybe this game was a good idea after all. During the first few turns, Zed chugs a beer. Molly shows off her nipple piercings. I get a kick out of watching Tessa's eyes bulge and her cheeks turn a deep red as she watches Molly. I can't help but imagine Tessa's full tits, perky and soft, decorated with small barbells.
Truth or dare, Teresa?
Nate asks, getting this show on the road, finally.
Truth?
She sounds unsure. I don't miss that she didn't correct Nate when he called her Teresa, whereas every time I do it, she acts as if she wants to chop my balls off and feed them to her lapdog of a boyfriend. Of course, I taunt. She glares at me as Nate rubs his hands together while trying to pretend like we all haven't already agreed upon what he's supposed to ask.
Okay. Are you a virgin?
Nate finally asks. Tessa's eyes go wide, wider than usual, and she makes a light choking noise in the back of her throat. She's shocked, horrified, and offended that a stranger would ask her such a personal question. A blush runs down her neck to her chest. Her hands fidget, and I get the feeling she's trying to decide whether to curse his ass out or run from the room.
Well?
I ask, all the while picturing her naked body under mine. Her voice, soft and subtle, would be making noises that no man has ever heard before. The thought is beyond fucking intriguing, but also fucked up. Since I can't speak to the girl without getting assaulted by her snobbish attitude. At last, this innocent girl gives a quick, silent nod. Every one of us is thinking about our game, and how this sweet, innocent, and crumpling naive girl just became the main piece. Tess is a virgin. She's just admitted it to the lot of us. I knew this to be true before she admitted it. I could tell by the way she shivered from our conversations alone. Thinking about being the first one to have her, to show her what she's been missing out on, makes my cock twitch. I imagine what's under her outfit. Her soft skin, full tits, her nipples hardening under my touch. Now the game has begun, and my blood is pumping. I'm anxious to be inside of her. She plays with her hair from across the circle, and I imagine that blonde hair wrapped around my fist, me pulling her closer to me as I fuck her from behind. I would slap her round ass, hoping to leave a mark there. She would be moaning my name through her pink, swollen lips. My name will sound so good coming from her mouth. I adjust my pants and watch Tessa again. She licks her lips, and I internally groan. I wonder how many cocks she's had down her throat. I wonder if she's ever tasted a man's cum before. And as the conversation continues, I learn that she has done next to nothing when it comes to sex. And I intend to show her every last fucking detail of what she's missed.
Chapter 7. There are so many mistakes to be made in life, and he made them all. Every ounce of respect he held for her seemed to disappear beneath the confusion of his mind. He loved her and cherished her more than his own breath, but he failed and failed and failed to show it, to remember it when it counted. He toyed with her, played immature games, and didn't show her his truth. This truth that he had hidden away, locked away tightly and guarded by his upbringing. by the fact that he couldn't remember the number of times he was hugged and cherished as a child. He wasn't trying to make excuses. He was only used to doing so. He always blamed everyone else, never took credit for what he did or said. It was easier that way. But eventually, he learned his lesson.
Dare!
I roll my eyes at the childish game, like anyone thought I would choose otherwise. I stare at Tessa, watching Mother Teresa fumble at the challenge of coming up with a good dare.
I dare you to...
She comes up short. Everyone is waiting, anticipating her question as she plays into our scheme.
To what?
I push her to hurry along with this shit. This girl, who doesn't even know how much trouble she's in with this pack of jackals. She still sits in silence, looking around the group in a dramatic panic. It's only a party game, but I can tell she's an overachiever, even when it comes to something this stupid. It's entertaining to watch her worry over something so small. She has a habit of chewing her bottom lip, the same way I play with my ring. Briefly, I imagine her with a ring through her lip. She would look so fucking hot.
Take your shirt off and keep it off the entire game,
Molly says for Tessa, and Tessa's cheeks flush. A pattern. How juvenile. I lift my black t-shirt up over my head and catch Tessa's eyes on my body. She's staring, hard. So hard that she doesn't even notice me catching her. Steph nudges her with her elbow, and she looks away, cheeks red and eyes downcast. I'm officially winning this. Zed has no chance. The game continues, and I sit here half-dressed and watch Tessa try and keep her eyes off of me. I can't read her. I can't tell if she's disgusted by my tattoos or intrigued by them. Her jaw keeps twitching. She's trying her best to sit still. Interesting.
Tessa, truth or dare?
Tristan asks. I lean back on my palms.
Why even ask? We know she'll say truth. Dare!
The stubborn girl says, surprising me with the challenge in her voice. It's a defiant sound, different than I would have thought possible just a few moments ago.
Tessa, I dare you to... Take a shot of vodka.
Tristan smiles.
I don't drink.
She sticks her chin out in refusal. I figured as much, but I'm pleased by this revelation. Everyone around this place can't wait for their next high. It's refreshing to have someone who doesn't rely on that.
That's the point of the dare, Tristan counters. Look, if you don't want to do it,
Nate starts to tell her.
She's such a pussy,
Molly says into my ear. Pussy? Because she doesn't want to drink.
Fine, one shot, she says.
And like that, little Miss Oh I Don't Do X, Y, or Z caves easily. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed. Not sure why, but I thought there was something different about her. I thought she wasn't like the rest of us, desperate to get the attention of our peers. I was wrong about her, obviously.
Same dare, Zed says to her, and takes a large swig before handing vodka over.
I'm annoyed by them drinking from the same bottle. It's disgusting, really. As the game goes on, drink after drink, she winces and wipes the burning liquid from her lips. Her eyes are red now, her cheeks matching. She looks lost and off balance, even when sitting down. She lifts the bottle to her lips again, and I find my hand grasping it, pulling it from her. She doesn't try to stop me. Does she sense that she's had enough to drink? Does she see this as her first taste at freedom? Such a sheltered girl, out here in the big bad world of people who drink to numb themselves from whatever issues their shitty parents passed on to them. Maybe hers, like mine, is neglect. Was this girl neglected too? I move my eyes to the neatly pressed collar of her shirt. Nope, she sure as hell wasn't neglected. It's possible that her low self-esteem is just a phase. She wants to break free of her controlling mummy and daddy and show herself that she can be a wild girl too. She's fully capable of hanging out with the bad kids and drinking herself sick. The other possibility is that the lot of us are just that good at dragging people down. I think you've had enough, I say, and go to hand the bottle off to Nate. But Tessa quickly grabs it at the last second and takes another drink. The trace of a smirk covers her full lips as she licks them clean. I watch her throat as she swallows in a defiant gulp, and I want to push her lips open and drink the liquor from her mouth. I shake the thought away. Molly glances at me, swirling her finger in the air to say that I'm crazy. Maybe I am.
I can't believe you've never been drunk before, Tessa. It's fun, right?
Zed asks her. She giggles and I roll my eyes.
Harden, truth or dare?
Molly asks.
Dare.
Did she have to ask? Maybe I should have done what Tessa did, just to prove a point.
I dare you to kiss Tessa.
Molly's painted lips turn into a smile, and I hear Tessa gasp. She speaks before I can get a word in.
No, I have a boyfriend. So, it's just a dare. Just do it,
Molly says, picking at her nails.
No,
Tessa's voice rises.
I'm not kissing anyone.
She stands and walks to the other side of the room. I take a drink of my water and watch her disappear out the front door. She was looking at me all night, staring at my shirtless chest, yet she was so disgusted by the thought of kissing me that she would throw a fit and run away. Or is it possible that a kiss could mean more to her than just conceding to a dare?
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen,
Nate laughs, leaning into me. The beer in his cup tips over the top and splashes onto the carpet in front of him. He doesn't bother to clean it up. These floors have seen worse.
You better run after her or you'll lose,
Steph says in a mocking voice as I slip my shirt back on. Man, she's always so pissy lately. I wonder what her problem is.
Which of you fuckers is gonna chase her?
Nate asks. I look around the crowded room. She's nowhere in sight. Zed is watching me, gauging my reaction to her little tantrum. I keep my face neutral, not expressing the slightest bit of interest as I scan the room again. There's no way I'm letting him be the one to get to her first. She's pissed because they dared her to kiss me. This stupid-ass game wasn't my idea anyway, and now it's already backfired. I fucking told them it was a bad idea. When Logan distracts Zed, I lean up to check the kitchen. I spot Tessa and move to get up off the floor.
Where are you going?
Molly wraps her hand around my arm as I stand.
To get some more water.
I look down into my nearly full cup, not giving a shit if she notices my ruse. I glance around the room, passing through the crowd while searching for Tessa's blonde hair. When I enter the kitchen, she's standing at the counter, a bottle of Jack in her hands. She lifts the bottle, and I can feel the familiar ache of need in the back of my throat. I'm appalled that this girl would fall into such a dangerous pattern so immediately. The way her eyes are clamped shut, and the gagging sounds she makes when she finishes. It burns and makes her half sick, yet she still takes another swig. Will she crave it? Will it make her forget things, numbing her mind to memories like it used to do for me? Does the girl even have memories that she would need to be numb to? By the looks of it, she might. I watch her still as she turns the faucet on, searching for a glass. She opens the cabinet and glances toward the doorway. I step back, out of view. What am I doing in here? Following her around and watching her sudden attachment to the amnesia of liquor? I quickly turn away and go back to my group. Molly is taunting Logan about his date last night, and Nate is lighting a cigarette when I sit back down on the dirty floor.
Let's get out of here. I'm bored, and I can tell you are too.
Molly's breath is hot on my neck as she wraps her arms around my shoulders. I shrug her off and shake my head. She latches on again. I'm going upstairs, I tell her. Her arms feel like steel, pulling me down.
Good idea.
She presses her lips against my neck. From the combination of her over-drinking and my quick movement, She falls back onto the carpet when she tries to wrap her arms around me, and I get to my feet.
Yikes.
That was tough to watch. Logan teases her. She flips him off and turns to me.
Seriously, Harden?
She growls.
Seriously, Molly.
I turn away from her and head up the stairs. As I reach the top of the staircase, my phone rings in my front pocket. Ken's name flashes on the screen, and I press ignore. I'm not in the mood to deal with him. I'm usually not. I just want to be alone, away from all this music and all these voices. I want my shitty excuse for a father to stop trying to connect with me. I want to be lost in the world of a novel, where the characters have much worse problems than me and make me feel slightly more normal than I am. But when I near my room, I see the door is open, cracked just enough for me to know something is off. I always lock that damn door. Did I forget? Inside, Tessa is sitting on my bed, one of my books in her hand. My phone buzzes again. My anger passes from Ken to her. She thinks she can just do whatever the fuck she wants. She can come into my room more than once without my permission. Why is she in here? I warned her before. What's her problem? I walk toward her. What part of no one comes into my room did you not understand? She squares her shoulders out of surprise.
Sorry, I...
Her voice falters and her eyes grow wide. Not with fear. With anger. She's trying that thing again, the one where she's really patient with me. I gesture toward the door.
Get out!
You don't have to be such a jerk!
She yells at me.
You're in my room!
The volume of my voice matches hers as I remind her.
Again! After I told you not to be! So get out!
Why don't you like me?
She says. I can see she's trying to be tough, but her tone has deflated, and her big eyes have made my pulse quicken. Chapter 8. The question, so bold and raw, surprised him, and made him realize he was standing at the edge of a cliff. With one blow of the wind, he would tumble over.
Why would she ask this? Isn't it obvious why I don't like her? She's annoying as hell. She's judgmental. She's constantly judging me and giving me shit about my attitude when I start shit with her. And she's not that bad, I guess.
Why are you asking me this? I ask, trying to keep my voice calm. She's glaring at me. I return the favor and glare just as hard. She thinks she can intimidate me. She's in my room, asking me stupid questions, looking at me like that.
I don't know. Because I've been nothing but nice to you, and you've been nothing but rude to me. And here I actually thought at one point we could be friends.
Her bloodshot eyes are strong, holding so much that I don't know about her, or care about.
Friends? Is she actually fucking serious?
I don't have friends. I don't need friends.
Us? Friends?
I force a laugh.
Isn't it obvious why we can't be friends?
Not to me,
she says plainly. And at first I almost think it's a joke. But the conviction in her voice tells me that she's actually serious. This girl is absolutely mad.